I'm trying to confirm this, but it's like there's a lot of detail here. But the total of people shot in Toronto this week was 31. I mean, the Canadians, I thought they were pretty mellow. You know, when you consider the size and scope of the society, really, in some ways, it's amazing that it works as well as it does, but can certainly work a lot better. And, you know, we're desensitized to this enough. We just lose more of our humanity. We have a caller from Aurora, Colorado on the line right now. And rather than take our break, I think we'll just talk to Ryan. He's actually on the East Coast line. But it doesn't matter. Ryan, you're in Aurora?
I am in Aurora. I have often wondered which line I should call into when I call, because it always says east or west of the Rockies, never in the Rockies.
Right. Well, so it doesn't really matter.
I guess not.
You know, you can call either one you want. So what were your impressions? Thanks for calling. What were your impressions? You got there afterwards.
I was riding home that night on my way home from the grocery store, and at about 12:45, I had an armored emergency vehicle fly past me. And as soon as that happened, I took my phone and turned on the app on my phone that allows me to listen to the local police and fire channel. And I heard it all develop as they were directing the various jurisdictions, fire, EMS, and even the other localities like Denver and Lakewood and the other county municipalities to the theater.
Oh, boy. Do we have a final number of how many people were lost or wounded?
I believe 12 is the amount of people that were shot in the theater. And as they were very early on, they had officers radioing back to, I guess, their central command saying there are 7 black, there are 8 black, there are 10 black inside the theater. And what I quickly learned was that they were announcing the amount of deceased that they were finding.
Oh, I see.
So there
anybody,
were
anybody there talking? Was, anybody see anything? Any scuttlebutt circulating around, or is it all just pretty much? It's really, you know, it's really quite new.
It is. I actually went back the morning after just to try and take some pictures and some video, and I was able to get, you know, within 50 or 60 yards of the theater without being impeded by any kind of police or fire personnel. I do want to leave one note with you, and I thought that this was odd. Very quickly on, they had upwards of 100 federal agents on site as this was unfolding, and I just thought that to be kind of strange for something like this. I mean, maybe not, but for something.
When you say federal agents, what were they driving?
They were, and I saw them coming in packs. They were in unmarked Chevy Impalas.
Wow.
Yes.
No shields on the doors or any of that?
Nothing.
And how long did it take them to get there?
Quick. I'd say within an hour to an hour and a half, they started announcing themselves over the radio. I could hear them saying, you know, we have X amount of agents arriving on site. Where would you like me to direct them? And they started arriving very quickly, and a very high number of them as well.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you very much. And if anything else comes up, you hear anything else, just shoot me an email to johnb@coasttocoastam.com. That goes for anybody else who wants to send an email.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Rob, I hope you were all right with that. We'll be back with Rob Dew in just a moment. Let's get this little quick floating break out of the way and get back to our chat with the InfoWars man, Rob Dew, on Coast to Coast AM. Rob Dew, thanks for being with us tonight. You want to go first, or you want me to go first on why it's not disrespectful to do a show like this, this close to this tragic thing that happened at the Midnight Movie on Thursday in Aurora?
Well, yeah, I'll take that first. I think it's disrespectful not to ask questions and maybe look at things that are out of place, like hundreds of federal agents appearing on the scene within an hour. You know, when Oklahoma City happened, they were already had their bomb protective gear on and their hazmat suits within minutes of that blast going off. And those were agents that were supposed to be working in the office, but they all got paged not to come in that morning. So it does.
Yeah, it's like, how long did it take before people started really looking at Oklahoma City or the Kennedy assassination or 9/11 before people really started going, wait a minute? Because you just can't believe it. You know, these acts are so horrific that you can't imagine that it would be an inside job of any kind.
Well, and I think, at least in our universe, the InfoWars universe, we are tuned when we see these types of events to just really start looking at them and looking for the consistencies, looking for those false flag hallmarks. And we do have a few videos up on the InfoWars.com homepage that people can look at, and they have lots of information about this. And we're going to continue to look at this and consider it a false flag. Either this guy is part of a larger group or he was a mind control suspect. Those are our two theories at this point. And, you know, the mind control victim looks more and more apparent. I just don't think it's possible that this guy decided to act out on this all his own. Where'd he get the money for all the weapons? Where'd he get the know-how? Where'd he get the smoke canisters at? That would be interesting to find out.
Where'd he get the training to booby trap his apartment?
Right. That's not in your PhD handbook for neuroscience, I don't believe.
And then why tell the cops the apartment's wired after what you just did?
Right. You would think you'd want more death and carnage, not less.
Well, if I heard that somebody important to me, may the Lord forbid, had something bad happen to them, I would be all into exactly what happened and who was there. It would be that kind of thing. And that's what this is. I can't help but wonder what kind of progress might have been made if all of the effort that's been directed toward what happened in New York City back in 2001. You know, if we'd gotten on a little sooner, might have some answers, some actual concrete answers by now. But the more time goes by, the colder the trail gets. You can revive it, but by that time, the fact of the matter is, people go back to their lives, and they'll lose interest. That's what they're counting on, I think.
Yeah, this is going to end up, I think, being 2 weeks down the line, people are going to forget about it. And that's kind of how they like this. They like to throw it out there, plant the seeds of hysteria and fear to get people fearing guns. And I noticed you were talking about Toronto, 31 people died. They got very strict gun control laws there.
How about that deal in Norway?
Yeah, they have strict gun control laws too. And, you know, it didn't stop the criminals from getting guns and doing what they want to do.
Yeah, there's just too much weird stuff going on. I mean, just like the underwear bomber from a couple of years back that, he has help getting on the plane, walks him through without a passport or whatever.
Right.
You know, just stuff like that. It's like, you know, if you can't get a lime, you know, like a piece of fruit, a lime, you can't carry it from state to state. You know, how do you get a person from country to country on a major airliner? Inside help, maybe?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
With all right. A bomb that conveniently didn't work, once again, same as the shoe bomber, these bombs could not have gone off. They needed electronic blasting caps. A lighter isn't going to ignite the explosive. And then you have the Undersecretary of State, Patrick Kennedy, in testimony, said that they let him on. They let him on the plane because they wanted to see who he was working with. They wanted to see his larger network. I will dig out that quote in 1 second because I will read you the quote.
They wanted him on the plane real bad. They walked him on.
Sure. He's the end. and the good thing is we had a witness, Kurt Haskell, who I've interviewed several times. We've had him on the show a lot. And from day one, his story has been the same. We even noted in a documentary I did called Police State for the rise of FEMA. We documented the five FBI stories as they changed their story each time. They said there was another man arrested, then there wasn't, then there was, but it was a different flight. Well, then he was on the same flight, but it was for immigration reasons. And then it was the dog was alerted to his bag, but it was had to do with fruit in his bag. And okay. It just kept getting stranger and stranger and stranger. And that's what they do. Anytime you catch them in a lie, they come up with a bigger lie to counteract it. And people believe it. The bigger the lie, people will believe it.
I suppose that's true. You feel like taking a call?
Let's do it.
Let's take one from Richard in Arizona. Richard, are you there? Richard. Richard.
Hello.
There he is.
Hi.
Yeah, Richard, welcome. What's going on with you tonight?
I'm a former government employee. I worked for the CIA for 2 years. Before that, I was in the military in the late 70s, and I was more or less recruited to work there. I later became an intelligence analyst, but I was an operator who worked worldwide. And wherever we went, we never traveled armed. We got our instructions at the last minute. Our weaponry was supplied to us in whatever country we were in. So that doesn't seem to matter anymore. And now they're blaming honest gun owners for what a wild man did. And I find that hard to swallow. You know, and we are being confused every time we turn around. A new theory pops up on why this guy did what he did. To me, it doesn't matter anymore. He killed. He got captured. Now what are we going to do? You're not going to stop gun ownership. It's unnecessary. 99.9% of us who own guns never think of something like this. I haven't owned a gun in 40 years, but I bought one last week because I'm afraid. You know, I'm well trained in its operation. My wife soon will be. And I don't know anything else to do but to say this is a grand conspiracy. Being an intelligence analyst, listening to all this, I don't find that true. Not at all. You may be influenced, you may be guided, but a larger conspiracy, I really don't see it.
Well, thanks, Richard. Thanks, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for calling.
Well, I got something to say to that. Who would have believed that Ted Kaczynski was part of the MKUltra project in Harvard in the 50s and 60s, which was a mind control project?
Now, that project is over with, or does it continue in some form today? I'm sure it does.
I'm sure it does. Officially, it ended many years ago, but they were doing mind control experiments. You know, I was watching some video on this Holmes character. They said in high school he got an internship at the Salk Institute to study neurobiology. And then right after that, he started withdrawing from his friends. He quit playing sports. He started wearing trench coats. Does that remind you of anybody who shot up a school in Colorado?
Yeah. I'm beginning to wonder what it is. Why do these things keep happening in that particular part of the world?
Yeah. Hey, going back, I found that quote from Patrick F. Kennedy, Undersecretary for Management at the State Department. And he said, Abdulmutallab's visa wasn't taken away, and his quote is, revocation action would have disclosed what they were doing, because they were asked by another agency not to take away his visa, to let him get on the plane. And so there you go. That's one of the highest offices, one of the highest bureaucratic offices in the country. And they were told by another agency to let him on the plane.
Okay.
And that video is out there. You can go watch it. You'll watch it on C-SPAN, in the C-SPAN archives. It's amazing how much stuff they just leave out there for you.
C-SPAN.
Yeah.
Okay, if somebody wanted to see that, how would they do it?
Will you go? I mean,
can you access their archives? Do you need a date or something? Yeah.
Yeah. If you type in Patrick Kennedy, and you could type in probably Abdulmutallab or underwear bomber, and House Committee on Homeland Security. It's keyword searches.
Okay.
And you type that in, and you'll get a. It's a pretty long. I think it's about 15 minutes. And there's a lot more that's even better in that video. I haven't watched it in a while. When we were working on that documentary on the underwear bomber, this is before, I think we were about 2 months from pressing, and this information came out, and that was big. And then since the trial happened, I've interviewed Kurt Haskell. I actually flew up to Detroit to interview him, and a day before he was sentenced, and Kurt went up to speak, and he was one of the few people that got to speak or that wanted to speak, and, you know, he was a witness to the guy getting on the plane, and he was convinced it's a cover-up, and I'm convinced it's a cover-up, and that they were getting this guy on the plane. And what do you know? Now we have body scanners, and we have TSA officers grabbing us when we try to get on the plane, and all that has happened since this underwear bomber incident. So it's just always convenience for these incidents to happen, and it lets them put the next ratchet on taking away our liberties. And so people
how about
don't
this?
Believe it.
No, it's unbelievable. In fact, maybe it's just designed to be overwhelming, so people just go, "Well, okay, I'll step through." Good grief, you know. But how about this laser scanner that, from what is it, from 60 feet, it can tell what you had for breakfast and everything else about you.
From 167 feet, actually.
It's 167. Sorry.
Yeah, that is very scary, and that's the kind of stuff they're deploying. Their technology. When I say there, the military-industrial complex, these people that get billions and billions of dollars each year to develop this stuff, they are several years ahead of, you know, what we're seeing on iPhones and stuff like that. I mean, who would have thought a laser could shoot at your body and figure out if you're sweating or not, what you've had for breakfast? It is getting more and more bizarre as we go. So, yeah.
If they could just
shoot up a Batman theater. I can believe it, and that he was part of something.
You know, I was talking about the Kool-Aid earlier, and that one sniff it a little bit before I drink it, but it's like, I just cannot help but wonder where all of this is really headed. If the ones who are perpetrating these things, let's say only 10% of it is really true, it was a true conspiracy proven to be such, and the other 90% of it was just rubbish. If it was only 10%, it'd be bad enough. So let's explore with you and with Rob Dew, what would the future look like if our invisible oppressors actually had their way? Would it be like the dark side of the Matrix, the ugly neighborhood, or worse than that? Maybe I don't know. This is Coast to Coast AM. We shall return. Well, let's see what the future looks like. Let's read a few of your emails. Let's take a few of your calls, and let's hear what else Rob Dew is working on. He's with InfoWars, and he's our guest tonight on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Well, Rob, what else is getting your attention? What else are you working on? I know this is brand new, but let's just get away from this Colorado thing just for a minute. Is this I mean, I take it that the bank, the financial situation, the InfoWars is all things, you know, ugly and needing to be looked into.
All things.
So I take it that,
I like
yes,
it.
All things very interesting, as in the interesting times we live in. What else is on the scope?
Well, it's funny you mentioned the government scanner. That's something that just came out recently. And we've been talking about that. And I was wrong. I said 167 feet. It's 164 feet away. They'll know everything about you. And it works in picoseconds, which is interesting. You get feedback at a molecular level, distances up to 50 meters in just picoseconds. And basically, that means instantaneously. And they've been working on this since 2008. So this is nothing new. You know, one thing we always look at And this necessarily doesn't necessarily apply to the Batman shooting. It always starts back with the Northwoods document, which is the document that the Joint Chiefs of Staff wrote up in 1962. And it outlined several possibilities to basically start a war with Cuba, provocations that they would, you know, they blow up a drone over Cuban waters. They would take a plane, fill it with passengers. It would take off. It would land, and they'd have another drone fly up, painted the same as the original plane. They would fly it over Cuba, start a May Day. It would get blown up. They were talking about taking MiG-type aircraft piloted by U.S. pilots and using that to blow up stuff. So if they were talking about this in the 60s, in the quote-unquote Leave It to Beaver days, what do you think they're doing now?
Well, all kinds of stuff. Let's see, we've been at war now for 9 years. And, of course, now we have an unending war on terror, because just about anything can be classified as a terrorist. It's going to be terroristic to somebody. Almost, it could be a smoking on a sidewalk.
Yeah, even after we get the bad guys, like we got Osama bin Laden. That was a big story. And notice how they changed their stories there. The story kept changing. First, they were watching it live. Then there was no television feeds. They bury him at sea because that's Muslim tradition. It's not Muslim tradition. They had been scoping out the area for weeks. There's a helicopter that crashed. There's people. Funny, in Pakistani television, there was a report, and they said it blew up after they came out with people on it, and there was dead bodies everywhere.
Okay.
So were those the same dead bodies that eventually blew up on another mission in Afghanistan when those Navy SEALs took off in a helicopter? I mean, it just gets weirder and weirder the more you
the first thing that got my attention was you sent in two helicopters. They're both full, I presume, of soldiers, SEALs.
Yeah.
Sorry. But one of them is disabled, so everybody leaves on the remaining one.
Right.
What?
With
no.
And bombs.
Yeah.
And
yeah, of course. Yeah, all of that. Well, let me ask you this. You know, some folks that come on the program, they're like, there's no hope. America's days are numbered. It's over with. We're done. You know, Skousen says, I don't know, there's definitely going to be a nuclear hit sooner or later. Come on, Joel. He's like, no. Okay, bright spot here anywhere? No. And other people, you know, and you indicated that you have hope that this could be straightened out, but a lot of people are thinking, you know, just head for the hills. They're worried because it seems too big and too messed up and too far down the road. And I sound like a broken record, but I mean, that's what's happening every day. It's something else. So where do you start? Do we have enough time to start with our legislators? I mean, if they do a bad job, well, don't reelect them. But only 40% of the people vote anyway. I mean, right. What do you do about that? You know, what do you do with a nation that's how many people? What percentage of people on food stamps did I read the other day? It was horrible.
What's
and,
more
and
than
double? Go ahead.
It's doubled with the food stamps. And yeah, how do you wake people up and get them to get active? People are going to have to put down their iPhones and iPads and constantly looking at them, start talking to one another. They need to keep a look at their local politicians. It's coming out everywhere in these towns and cities that are going bankrupt in California. There's investigations in these people. That stuff needs to continue. People just have to get excited about life and interested in what's going on around them. And if they don't do that, there is no hope. And maybe this is the time that it'll all fall. If it is, well, you know, we still got to ride that out, too. It's not, you know, when Rome fell, it didn't disappear in a ball of dust. It was really nasty. When Germany fell, it was nasty. You know, do we want to look back in 10 years and say, well, we should have done something? You know, that's why I'm here doing this, why I'm up 2:43 in Central Time. You know, I'm up. I want to wake people up. That's why I'm here. I want to wake people up. I want to get people active. I'm sick and tired of the apathetic American You know, back when I was a kid, I used to get mad at my friends who wanted to watch TV all the time. I'm like, let's go do something. They'd be watching TV. I got new friends. I got friends who wanted to do stuff. So find like-minded people in your area. Make it happen. You know, there's no blueprint to make it all right. But we know in our hearts and in our minds what is right and what is wrong.
Do you think that, you know, for years, Hollywood was accused of being the propaganda wing of those who would just get rid of this Constitution altogether? You know that. Okay. Those rumors have been circulating forever. Joe McCarthy went after a bunch of people in Hollywood, and of course, you know, he was brutal, and he was justifiably demonized in some ways. And on the other hand, he did find a bunch of communists in there. Be that as it may, you know, we're going through it's either a communist scare, now it's a terrorist scare. So it's some sort of a scare going on continuously. Do you think maybe it's just that people understand already without being told, without reading it or anything, that all you can do is hold this off? You can't make a perfect utopian world. We've just been beaten to, you know, with... you know, terms like eternal vigilance. Well, after you've heard that enough times, but you've never really thought about what you're saying, it's just cliche. It does require continual vigilance, because there are all that is human nature. I mean, to me, when it comes right down to it, and now some people will roll their eyes over this, but it's like, you know, to me, if it really isn't anything more than just a battle between good and evil, then absolutely none of this makes any sense whatsoever. You know, at least a battle between good and evil would make things interesting instead of being in this stupid goo that's just unending. I mean, let me ask you something. A lot of cities, for example, let's shift gears. Let's go to chemical... let's go to malicious retardation by the use of chemicals in the public water system. A lot of municipalities are turning away from fluoride. About time. Now, have you worked on any of the stories about chlorine levels affecting cognitive function, or fluoride messing people up, or anything like that?
I've done a lot on that subject, and... one of the things I'm pretty proud of is we went to a water treatment plant here in Austin, Texas, took a tour. And MSDS, those are the forms you get with any chemical. You know, the company has to have an MSDS. And if you look online for hydrofluorosilicic acid, very hard word to pronounce and spell, but that is what they put in our water. It's not fluoride per se. It's hydrofluorosilicic acid, which is a catch-all term for all kinds of garbage that comes out of these phosphate chemical plants. Anyway, for human reactivity, online it says the MSDS is 3, which is, that's pretty bad. The next step is 4, which is the worst. Well, on the tanks inside this plant, two giant tanks, the MSDS labeled on the tanks is a 4. Even worse than what is online for these plants. And these government people, these city water people, will sit there and look at you with a straight face and say, you know, until we get told any differently, we're going to keep this pumped into your water at 9 gallons an hour. They're putting that in your water at 9 gallons an hour. And it is shown to collect in the bones, collects in the pineal gland, which is your, I guess you could say it's your third eye, right there in between the different halves of the brain, your pineal gland. It calcifies in there. It's really bad for kids. Yet we have grocery stores pushing fluoridated water for your baby. You can go to any grocery store and find fluoridated water for your baby's teeth, even though your baby doesn't even have teeth yet.
Right.
So that is an all-out assault. And here in Austin, we have a big fight going on. And every week, we have somebody speaking out against fluoride. But the city council and the mayor, they don't care. They don't want to hear it. they'll say, in fact, the mayor has said, my dentist says it's good. So I think it's fine. So he says different, I'm going to believe him. And he's just regurgitating the stuff from these Rockefeller-funded institutions. And this is where it all came from, you know. At first,
well, that's what I'm, you know, Rob, that's what I'm talking about. How do you dislodge these people?
The internet's going to dislodge them. And the help, and people talking, and people doing more of this, and wearing shirts that say there's poison in your tap water. That wakes people up. I have a shirt that we wear, or that we sell at our store, and it says there's poison in your tap water. It's got a giant skull with a drop of water in it. Let me tell you, people ask me, what does that mean? All the time. And I say, look, I'm going to give you a few things to go look up on the internet, because I don't want you to believe me. I want you to look it up for yourself and second source it. Look up hydrofluorosilicic acid and I'll spell it for them. And they'll go out there and they'll look it up and they'll say, wow, why are we putting a chemical that if you're exposed to it can cause death? You don't want to inhale it. You don't want it on your skin. In fact, when these tanker trucks spill on the highway, they have to close the whole highway down and it eats through the concrete. And we're putting that in our water for our teeth?
Mm-hmm. Well, has anybody figured out why they're doing it? Well, it can't be to prevent tooth decay because it doesn't work that well.
No, our water supply is basically being used as a filter system. And when we drink it, our bodies are being used as a filter system for this toxic waste. And what they do is they take this toxic waste and they sell it to a company who then distills it and becomes a product for sale. And at that point, it's no longer being regulated by the EPA, because if they tried to dump this hydrofluorosilicic acid in the streams and rivers, they would get fined. And it's very expensive to bottle this stuff up and put it somewhere. It's hazardous waste. So they figured out a way, this is all in the 50s, with the help of Edward Bernays, one of these, you know, godfathers of propaganda. And they figured out a way to get dentists to agree that we needed it for our teeth. And so they started putting it in. And even back then, people were saying, hey, this is roach poison. Why are we putting roach poison in our water? How is this going to help us?
Okay. So, obviously, get something that'll filter it out.
Yeah, and there's not a lot that'll filter it out. Aluminum does filter it out, and another substance called bone char. That's ground up cow bones to get disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, that will, because it binds to your bones. So it binds to the cow bones, and it'll filter out, because regular filters won't get it out. Your filter.
No kidding.
No, the charcoal filters will not get this stuff out. You have to get something specifically for fluoride.
Okay. Want to live dangerously and take a call from Anita in South Carolina?
Let's do it.
Okay. Anita from South Carolina, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call.
Welcome.
I was going back to the encampments y'all were speaking about earlier. I do a lot of individual health care. I go to a lot of hospitals. As a matter of fact, I'm in one now with a client. Has anybody ever looked at what hospitals they're building now, these mega hospitals? And there's still nobody in them running. I've noticed the cameras, they're everywhere. I mean, way more than they should be, I would think. And they have all these different generators running around the parking area.
Does it sound like, Rob, you heard anything like this?
Well, that sounds like they're either getting prepared for something. You know, hospitals and these doctor's offices are the points of reference for these, you know, vaccines. Whenever they have an outbreak, mm-hmm. they want to get a lot of people in. They'll run them through. Could be a sports stadium. But they need to get the stuff from the hospital and say there is a power outage. That's why they have generators. So
My dad is a heavy conspiracist. He is a very intelligent person that was in think tanks for many years. he was in the think tank when the barcodes came out. The barcodes came out as numbers to begin with, but they couldn't make the numbers connect with the machines. And that's when the lines begin showing up with the barcodes, with the numbers.
Right.
Well, it was thought that that's what the government watches, what you buy, all these cards that you get from the stores. That's I think that's turned into the government. My dad also thinks so. He calls it the government of the mafia. But he says some of these parking garages actually look like they're set up to be walled at an instant.
To be walled?
To be walled up. I mean,
really?
The garages are set up so distinctly with, if you really look up, you'll see a huge amount of maybe water pipes, some kind of fluid pipes running. And as I walk around these hospitals, and I walk around a lot at night, it just seems to me they're building and building and building for something to come.
Okay.
Something in the future.
Thanks very much for the call.
I think about these things all the time because my dad taught me this from the time I was 6 years old, different things.
No. Now, what part of the world is this big hospital in that you're talking about?
There's six in South Carolina.
Oh, gotcha. All right. Well, Rob, we'll get your reaction to that when we come back. We've got another proverbial heartbreak coming up at the top of the hour. It's been a fast 2 hours. But we'll take some more of your calls, and we'll explore some other things. All things conspiratorial. Well, maybe not all of them, but some of them. The ones that we're hearing about day and night, night and day, day and night. At least some of us, like Rob, do, and yours truly, John Wells.